Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. This is Talk Art. I'm Russell Tovey.
And I'm Robert Diamant.
Welcome to Talk Art.
Welcome back, everybody.
Yes, well, it's Christmas time.
It is. And I've just been in New York, which made me feel incredibly Christmassy.
How long was
it
in New York for?
Happy holidays, which is something I heard daily. I was there for
You have to say holidays because then you're not going to offend anyone.
Is it?
Yeah, because if you say Happy Christmas, then...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The different communities...
I actually like holidays anyway. I like the idea.
I
like the idea of happy holidays.
I do too, but I feel like if you say it here, people are a bit like, what do you mean it's Christmas?
I think it feels expansive and like...
Inclusive.
We're going to relax and like rest.
For holidays, yeah. For like a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the American word for holiday.
Oh, that's nice. So I was there for 4 days.
What was you doing there, Rob? What was you doing there?
Well, I met lots of artists. So I hung out with the incredible Catherine Bernhardt.
Love.
Who I love. And I went to her Mickey Mouse mural. She's done this like wall painting of Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse for Disney. They've got this exhibition in New York right now.
Why did they ask her to do that? What's her style of art, Rob?
Her style of art is... often things that she loves, and they a pattern painting, so she'll choose different objects that she loves. So it might be like matcha tea, which is her latest thing she's obsessed with, like a matcha latte, and she'll put that in the painting, or Garfield or Pink Panther. So she's done a lot of cartoon characters,
so it's Disney things asked from popular culture.
Exactly, popular culture.
And that's what, so she's kind of like an Andy Warhol female doing her own thing, her own language.
Kind of she definitely follows on from Warhol, I think. And she uses spray paint and acrylic paint and lots of water, so they're very
watery
and just they're really painty.
Fluid.
They look really great in real life because they're much more painterly than when you see them photographed. I think the photographs sometimes look more graphic.
Right.
Anyway, so I was there with her and we had a riot. We literally went around the whole of New York doing all kinds of things. We had a really great time.
You were there for, there's an artist called Rob Pruitt who was running like a Christmas market, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was like an artist flea market. And he invited loads of his friends like Jamie and Giuliani Villani, Catherine, who we just discussed, lots of other people. And they were all making t-shirts and like Christmas baubles.
Crafty and thrifty.
Yeah. And it's kind of about, it's like a social environment in a way that...
Where was the money going to? Was it a charity thing?
I don't know, actually. I guess so.
Yeah.
I think some of it might have been. I don't know if all of it was, though.
Okay.
I think it was more just like...
Come along and sell your wares. Just,
exactly.
Yeah.
It was kind of a fun thing.
Christmas money.
So we did that, and I hung out with Rob as well, and I love him. He's
Rob Pruitt.
Yeah, he makes these amazing paintings of pandas with glitter, which I love.
Yes, you
And he
would.
Did this incredible Obama series, like celebrating every single day that Obama was in power as president. He would do a painting every single day he was in power, and then he did this exhibition at the end.
But he did this while he was in power, is this retrospectively?
No, well, he did it while he was in power, yeah.
Oh.
So from the day he got inaugurated to the day that he left the White House, the 4 years.
8 years. He was 8 years in power.
Or 8 years.
Yeah, because he got a second term, didn't he?
You're right. Yes. He did, so the 8 years.
He said painting for 8 years worth of painting.
I think so, yeah.
Day. So 365 times eight.
Well, let's look it up. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's a lot
of
painting.
Well, anyway, I'll ask Rob. But anyway, he did an exhibition of it.
Maybe just write a note in a diary.
He did write a note. He does do that,
Another day in power.
He does actually have a diary that he updates every day.
I have a diary.
And I visited his studio about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And he wrote our names in it, Carl Friedman and Robert Diamond. We're actually in his diary.
You're in my diary.
No, but it's like a painting. Diary.
Oh,
it's an artwork. He draws and does pictures and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Every day, and it becomes these works that you then put on the wall. They're really cool.
I like him. I love him. And he has an online shop, doesn't he? An eBay shop where he gets kind of junk and sells it on eBay, and it's been...
But it's not junk. It's like things that he is source. Taking everyday objects and then turning them into something really special because they're Rob Pruitt's. Like,
so not he's been touched by the artist. The artist's exactly. hand is present. The artist is present
yeah.
in them pieces.
Anyway, I just love Rob Pruitt. And when we do our New York series, he will be in it because he's a brilliant...
This is a New York series of contradictions.
No, I mean you and me.
Oh, when we do our New York series of this?
Yeah, like
oh,
season
sweet.
Three or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully I'll be in the diary.
Exactly, babes. Maybe I'll put you in my diary.
And they can do a paint of me every day.
And then I also saw Joyce Pensato.
Yeah, I love Fred. Joyce. I love her.
Oh, you've got punchy again.
I know. I'm going to punch you.
You're so violent.
But it's Christmas. It's the holidays. You know,
you hit my laugh.
I always get punchy in the holidays.
Yeah.
You were getting worried.
So we today are going to have two of our very good friends
yes.
joining us.
Yes.
Because it's the holiday season. Oh and
God.
We think what's important at holidays, friends and family.
And presents.
And as you get older, I think friends become family.
Become presents.
And they become presents. Well, actually, I think my presence is your present.
Oh, thanks. I don't want it. Have you got a receipt?
You've got a gift. You want to refund my present?
Yes, I do. I want all the money back.
Anyway, so I love our friends very much. And
good, I love our friends as well. It's not a competition.
It sounds like you're trying to return everyone. I mean, I'm not so sure if you do anymore. And we've got Rocky in the booth
as
over there
representing.
Watching. He's representing all kinds.
So we've brought our friends along because we felt like it really works when you connect with your mates and people about their experiences with art, because everybody has an experience of art, and so many people who we have asked so far have said, like, I know nothing about art, I don't really have any inclination towards knowing anything more about art, but I'll come on. And then you realise that they know shitloads about art, or
exactly,
they have
yeah.
moments that define their life through
That's
an artwork.
That's not going to happen today.
Who are you, strange boys? We haven't introduced you yet.
So, yeah, exactly.
Well, we've got two friends. One friend is on the way, and another friend is here super early, and she's winning all the gold stars.
Yes.
Well, she's winning BAFTAs, actually.
She's winning. Yeah, she is.
Children's so, BAFTAs is not the same.
We haven't introduced you yet.
Sorry.
Quiet. Anyway, so let's introduce. This is our dear friend. She's a very, very, very close acting friend of mine, and also a real human friend. It is the wonderful, the very special, the beautiful, but it's a podcast, so the dulcet-toned Laura Aichman.
Hi, Laura.
I feel pressured to be dulcet-toned now.
Oh, no, you do have an amazing...
Oh, hello.
Hello, don't feel
And also,
pressured.
We've taken loads of pictures so everyone can see on our Instagram.
So we don't care.
Yeah, we took loads of pictures the other day.
Yeah.
So you'll see Laura on our Instagram.
On our
You're going to be bombarded with her. Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Happy holidays.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Winning.
Totally winning. So you were taken round by Rob. I was away working in Manchester.
Yep.
But Rob took you around to a few things, mm-hmm. art-wise, for you mm-hmm. to experience art, for him to get a gauge on your kind of... life around art so far.
Yeah, and the reason we invited Laura was because Laura's one of the people that listened to the first few episodes and really responded to it in the sense that, well, you can explain yourself.
Yeah. I think you left us some nice feedback. You gave a little...
Did laugh. I?
Did you?
I can't even remember.
You're one of the first people
to probably
leave
drunk.
Oh, that's sweet. Very nice. Go on.
Oh, gosh, get right in. So I didn't grow up with any art in my life. In my parents' house, there's a lot of, like, just pictures of them blown up on their walls.
Right.
So I think I've always sort of thought of art, and my feelings around modern art particularly have been, like, from growing up, my dad being like, if it doesn't look like the thing it is, it's not very good.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
This is a real basic bitch view on it, but I think people will relate.
Yes.
I think that, sort of growing up, I was kind of given the idea that, unless it looks like it could be a photograph of whatever it is, it's not a very good painting.
Yeah.
And then sort of growing up, obviously, having my own mind, I started
Did
to
you?
enjoy art a bit more. And then when I was listening to your podcast and you had Michael Craig Martin on and you were talking about the oak tree, I had a real, like, revelation moment when you said, I think you or he said, you just have to accept that glass of water is an oak tree.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I feel like that kind of unlocked something for me when
Oh,
I was
wow.
like, take away like any cynicism and just enjoy it. And that's the whole experience. That can be enough. And then I had it again the other day walking around with you because I was like, oh shit, I'm going with Rob and we're going to have to like stand at every painting and talk about what they mean. And then he just like whipped around and was like, do you like it or not? And I was like, oh, that's it. That's it.
It's okay.
It's okay just to be like, I don't like that one. I do like that one. Yeah. I like the colours in that one.
Yes, and that but I think that's really important. And I think if you can actually like relax on that level.
Yeah.
And also like realise that your own opinion like matters and means something. Like it doesn't matter if there's books written about stuff, you know, yet. It's almost like if you're going to start looking at art, you just need to look at it, highlight what it is that you like, and then maybe start, if you want to, start questioning why you love those things.
Exactly. But I think also when you were saying, like, so many people have said, oh, I don't know anything about art, it's because people feel really intimidated to say the right things, or that if you say, oh, I like this, then real art people are going to be like, that's really pedestrian.
They're really going to judge you.
Yeah.
You feel like you're going to be judged if you don't know.
And you don't know the right thing.
You feel like you feel like an imposter syndrome, I guess.
Yeah.
If you're not inside the club, if you're not a member, then how have you got a right to talk about
it? And also, I think it feels like a very like middle upper class thing.
Well, it's an elitist. That's the thing. Yeah. It feels elitist. And the thing is, art isn't elitist. Hence, you have so much like art, the street art, for example, has taken off so much because it isn't elitist. It's for the people.
Yeah,
it's there.
People feel like
anybody
can
get put out part of it. And there's so much public art that is there for the public. Mm. There's nothing elitist about that. That's getting it out there so people can experience that. And people also pass that peripherally daily, and that's there.
Yeah.
And that becomes part of your kind of language, your makeup,
and
your
environment. And that's what I've loved about looking at more modern art, is like how it does, it is a reflection of what's going on in all of our lives, and it's political as well, and it's a real expression. And as soon as I sort of just started looking at it for that person's expression and what it means to me, yeah, I felt like I enjoyed it a lot more and felt less like an idiot.
I also feel like you can learn so much about yourself and kind of like your own development as a human and your own feelings about things like through art.
Yeah.
It's almost like it can help teach you stuff about you in a way.
Yeah, looking at it through someone else's perspective, I
suppose. Totally, yeah. And
but that's exactly why we're here doing this podcast.
No, but that's what I mean. I was just about to say as well, like I taught myself about art. You know, from the age of 13, I used to read about art. It's not like I really, yes, I did a master's for a year, but that was much later in life when I was like 29. But up until that point, I taught myself. And it was, that's what I kind of wanted to highlight to everyone, is that you don't have to have all the knowledge yet.
No.
And that art can actually somehow improve your life, I think.
It's so easy to be a cynic. It's such an easy default when it comes to art, if you don't get it, to be a step back and be a cynic and say you're shut out. And actually just to allow that, as you're saying, to kind of pass over you and just allow that experience to be and sit with it is, you know, and that takes a level of maturity to be able to allow yourself to do that.
Yeah, because again, it's sort of making yourself vulnerable a bit. But I can remember when Tracy Emin did her bed and it won the Turner Prize.
Well, she nominated, didn't win, but
okay. It was on the news loads.
Yeah, loads
and
loads.
I remember my parents
and she became
just
a controversial
being like,
character
what
as well.
A load of old shit.
Yeah, of course.
And thinking, oh, but I think, like, she's trying to say something and then just sort of shutting that down, like, oh, no, I'm being an idiot because I'm artistic and creative and that's sort of silly.
Right.
It's not.
But how amazing that a work of art can cultivate so much conversation.
Yeah.
That someone can do that, like an artist can put something out there.
And then
in the
isn't
public.
That the point of it as well?
Yeah, and the conversations. And that, how famous is that bed?
Yeah.
But that's
know,
like
so
probably
true.
as part of British history, that is like that is a reference point, a huge moment in history, and people are still very angry about that work of art.
And in my mind, it's like the start of modern art or something. It feels
it was
like
the YBA movement. So for our generation,
that was
you are right. Well, exactly, but we all felt that. I felt that. That was when I was 16 at college, and that was a moment when the YBAs were kind of kicking off, when Charles Sartre had his gallery, when you started to see Damien Hirst around, and you started to see like Ron Mueck and Gavin Turk, Mark Quinn's Bloodhead in the fridge. It was all these things that just sort of felt like from another place.
Yeah.
It's all culminated together, and it was such a melting pot of excitement. And suddenly, at that moment, London was, or the UK was, the forefront of art, contemporary art. So that's, it does for you, because before that, there was a lot of art, and, you know, but there wasn't a benchmark moment. There wasn't like there wasn't like an atom exploding, and that was an atom exploding.
Yeah, it was.
And then we're now in a lull, I think, in the UK for that. And I think that it will come back again at some point. But it seems to travel around the world. So for a while, it was Berlin was the place. Berlin was where it's all happening, crackling, and then New York is where it's happening.
And also, I think Los Angeles at the moment, it feels like there's so many artists there that are doing amazing things. So it does seem to go to different cities.
It's also
in different
political,
times.
You know, the way that the YBA happened is because of where where we were politically.
No, you're right, you're right.
And in America, there's so much. American, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
You look at what's going on there, and it's African American art is just like, he's gone stratospheric. And you know, with Trump obviously being in power and how that's affecting everyone and the anger that comes from that. And that, you know, and when Trump came into power, I was like, well, that, you know what? The best art sometimes comes out of, whether it be visual art, whether it be movies, songs, writing, comes out of
anger and passion
and political and in feeling like you have to have a voice and art travels.
And actually talking about you know, political art and kind of social change, you know, within art, whatever. Yeah. Like Olafur Eliasson is one of the artists we went to see the other day.
The Ice Watch.
Who's brought these amazing, he's just for people who don't know who he is, he's an Icelandic Danish artist and he does often very large installations.
Oh, hang on, we've got a friend.
Oh, our other guest is arriving.
We have a friend joining. Here we go. We have a friend joining. You're live on air. You're live on air.
It's the icon that is. We need a drum roll or something.
Yeah, so you can provide that.
Yes.
I love that I went in there and Rocky was just sitting there.
Because doing the controls.
Hello. No, I didn't have time. I was like,
you're right.
I need to run in.
Hi, Gorge.
I've got coffee breath. Hello.
So this is our second friend.
I've got so much
Russell
to say.
And I actually have two friends. Can you believe it?
Can you believe it? Two holiday friends.
I just can't believe we have so many friends.
This is another amazing acting friend and real human person life friend. This is the glorious, heavenly Sarah Hadland.
Hello, hello.
Hi,
Sarah. Please, so we start talking art immediately. I've got so much to say.
We were just talking about...
I'm just going to finish what I was talking about and then we're going to let...
Rob took Laura around the Ice Watch, which is currently at the tape.
Eliasson.
Yes, exactly. Good. So he is an amazing artist. He often creates these large-scale installations and they involve elemental materials like light, water, even temperature. Like he sometimes puts like water in the air, you know, so that it changes the way you see
things. His big defining moment was at the Tate.
It was called the Weather Project.
Was the big sun
that was
part of the Turbine Hall. She used to walk in and people would just go and bask in this light.
And do you know what? That was in 2003.
Was it?
And I had just started collecting maybe like 2 years before like street things because I was working with a few different like street artists through, weirdly, my manager at the time of my music. And we did... I don't know why I'm going into this, but anyway, we did an exhibition with Greenpeace years ago called Save or Delete, and it was really early when Banksy had just started, and he made us an amazing poster and artwork that we showed in the exhibition of the Jungle Book, and it was all for deforestation to like highlight the problem of trees. It was kind of amazing.
Are you and basically Banksy... saying, Rob, you've discovered everybody? Is that what you're trying to claim?
Olaf,
Banksy.
Obviously, babes.
But
anyway,
can I ask, because I didn't go to see the ice because it melted before I got there.
Yeah.
Was it creaking?
Well, actually,
no, we were trying to listen to it. We did hear a little bit.
We heard a little bit. But actually, I know we did listen and we did try and even smell to see if the ice smelled good or something.
Because it's very topical at the minute. Is this why he's doing it? Because it's from Greenland, isn't it?
Yes, and he's trying to highlight the fact
that China is about to set up a huge Arctic city there, aren't they? They're moving.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's to do with that, though. I think it's just about the ice.
I think it's about the climate.
So it's very... It's very, you know, the fact that China are going, they're very worried, aren't they, in Greenland about what's going to happen.
But also, I think...
over. It's going to be a huge China takeover of Greenland.
Is China...
They're saying they need it for the economy.
Wow. Does China own Greenland?
No!
So who...
Danish, isn't it? Greenland belongs to the Danes.
Well, Norwegian, is it? No?
Oh, dear. Anyway, let's stay out of things. What I love is people just going, who are these people? If it makes you feel better, I am qualified. I got an A for O-level geography, even though I put London where Manchester is. So get on to my point.
No, Greenland is owned by Denmark.
Thank you.
It's a constituent country.
But how can China have a...
Because they're
an ice city.
Well, I watched a bit of the news.
So did
you. Oh, well done.
And I'm sipping from my tiny cup.
It's incredibly poor.
Green tea Greenland, I'm keeping it on trend.
It's crazily poor there.
Yes.
So
it's just ice.
Can I just say one thing?
So the idea is
that climate change is happening and that people in countries like England, in London, in cities like that are just ignoring it.
Yeah.
So what he did was bring the ice to us.
Yes. And make you can see it melting.
We see it melting in front of us so that it becomes real.
And half is in the city.
Exactly.
So that's at the mayor's office, isn't it?
And the city was a very clever idea because that's where all the money is in the country. So it's like confronting those people who are trying to ignore what's going on. And actually, it's a real problem globally. globally, because like, look at what Trump's doing, right, trying to stop.
We're deniers.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, I think, what it's got to do with. But his installation of the sun was so incredible. Yep. He had like a mirror on the whole ceiling of the turbine hall. And I still, to this day, think it was the best use of the turbine hall.
Right.
Because it transformed this very like, not claustrophobic, but like...
It is quite bunkerish.
It's quite bunkerish, yeah. I always think it's a bit like kind of going underground or something. It's a bit like terrifying.
Yeah.
But it's so huge.
Anderson shelter for those of you that were in the war.
Exactly, yeah. But it just...
listening to a podcast.
There was something so powerful about just the simplicity of the light and the warmth. And I used to like go in there multiple times and just lie down.
Yeah.
And you could actually see kind of see your reflection in the roof.
It
was a bit like... A bit like Narcissus Garden, you know, by Yaya Kusama, who we also went to see the other day. That kind of work where the audience is kind of seeing themselves or something.
Wow.
But the air had water in it, I think, like moisture.
It
was like a mist, yeah. And it was just this incredible... I don't know. It had a really big impact on me at the time, anyway. He's really great.
But it's really been effective, though, that artwork on the on outside the Tate, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think it's been so... Everyone's talking about
the
melting ice.
When you see programmes about it, it's so different from our landscape that it's really hard to get your head around.
Yeah.
When you're presented with something in front of you, you can't... You can't ignore it, can you?
No.
But it's like plastic now. It's like when you go Pret a Manger or something and you come out of your little bag and I'm like, so I've eaten all of this
and
this is now all going to go in the sea.
Well, even when you do your shopping, like so much of your stuff is just, say on the back, non-recyclable.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched it and if it's still on iPlayer, there's a documentary called Drowning in Plastic.
Yes,
yeah.
It's amazing. They take all these little birds and a lot of them have died and they do like, what do you call it? An autopsy.
And they've all got plastic in their stomachs.
Full of plastic in their stomachs that their mums have eaten and then regurgitated and fed them.
Well, apparently it's the same with oysters and mussels. They've all got plastic in now.
I've always told you oysters are disgusting.
Yeah, I know, but I quite like the taste of plastic.
Okay, so taking the focus back to art.
Oysters.
I would love to just quickly say, so Sarah and Laura... Mm-hmm. Both acted with Russell in an amazing TV show called The Job Lot, which I love so much. It's one of the funniest. It was the funniest show. And actually, I think it was the first
one. It's on Netflix.
Is it really?
Yeah. You can binge watch the whole thing.
People have rediscovered it.
So there are first series,
I'm not in it.
Yes.
Okay, so there are three series. Anyway, and it was the first time I'd ever seen you act, Sarah.
Oh.
And actually, probably you as well, Laura. Yeah. And it was just genius. And then I discovered Sarah was in Miranda, which is also a brilliant show. And you are so funny in that.
Yeah.
And Laura's recently been in Liar, which was another great
show.
Not
that funny.
No, it wasn't funny, but it was a really great show, and you were fantastic. It was a really powerful,
very powerful
show. Anyway, but we also hang out a lot outside of you guys working together, and we've been in Hampstead Heath walking your dogs recently, and you've come to my gallery a few times. And I wanted to find out, so we've just been talking about you growing up with art, Laura, but what about you?
It.
What was your experience growing up?
My first... memory of art.
Phone.
Oh, that was my phone.
That's a fine.
My phone. Oh, is it?
You have to pay for the edit.
Okay. was Lowry, because I was brought up in Cheshire near Manchester.
Oh, wow.
So the first memory I have is of the Matchstick, because we used to sing it at school. Matchstick men and matchstick cats and dogs. Here we go. We've painted on the kids on the corner of the street with the sparkling clogs. 6, 7, 8. Now he takes his brush and he waits outside them something gates to paint them factory gates to paint matchstick men and matchstick cats and dogs.
Christmas record deal. I mean, you need to have a holiday album.
So that was my first memory. We had the big, iconic thing, the walking home from the factory. I've got the name wrong. It was huge. And I remember there was a big drama because he turned down, didn't he, a knighthood, Obie. He's famous for turning down the most honours of any human being.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I like the way I'm spouting all these facts. I think they're correct. So I remember that was my first introduction to it, and I really loved it. I loved the fact that
he was very political in his time.
Yeah, but also that he painted what he saw, and for a lot of people looking at some of Lowry's art, it can look quite bleak because you have got these matchstick figures, and they tend to be
smoke
quite dusty,
pluming out. Yes,
yeah, but I think they're really beautiful. And
so, where did you see these?
Well, we had a print of one of them at home.
You know, so did we. My mum,
she's
obsessed, probably is still obsessed with Lowry, and we had a kind of like. I think it was almost like a fake painting.
Yes.
It was actually painted, but not actually a real copy, of Lowry. And I remember that too.
Mm. Well, my mum, when I was very little, one of my first memories of my life is after my mum had had me, I was the second and favourite child. she decided to do art A level. She's a really good artist. My mum still goes to art group now. I've just done a collage with split peas. And she used to take me, and one of my first memories is have one of my dad's shirts on back to front with the sleeves rolled up like a little overall, and I had my own easel, and I was quite as you can imagine, quite an energetic, boisterous child. And my mum said I was so good, and they'd all be doing, all the adults would be doing their art, and I'd be there. And apparently the teacher was really good and would come round and would critique my work as well and be like, that's lovely. Yeah, and apparently I used to really enjoy it. So, you know, I remember that. But the other artist I would really remember becoming aware of was actually through Victoria Wood, was Beryl Cook.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And again, painted what she saw. And I think she was very popular. And I think people kind of, that almost went against her. But she did.
Yep.
And it was made into a programme in 2004 with Dawn French, Timothy Spall, Alison Steadman did the voices. But I love the quote that Victoria Wood said. It was like Reuben with comedy, with jokes. Reuben with comedy.
Oh, good one.
Because it was so, there was humour in the art. And I like art that does kind of tell a story and you get a message from it. And I think, even though I think sometimes art that's very popular can be looked down on, but I think Beryl Cook was an amazing artist.
But these artists are social commenting.
Yes.
That's
what
you've responded
to. Yes, absolutely. And yeah, I love the warmth. You can look at the pictures and they really make you smile and laugh, and you completely know the characters and what's going on within the
picture. And actually, that's quite interesting, because the times you come to my gallery and you've occasionally bought things, some of the artists you love, we'll talk about it in a minute. I'm going to just ask Laura a question in between.
Shrigley.
Yeah, exactly. I was just about to say, Shrigley is almost like, that's where it took you.
I'm obsessed with that one that was at the, well, there were two at the Frieze. There's one of a woman walking into the water and it says, "I'm tired of wading through your soup." I was like, that. And there's another one where this, it's called The Mask. And he's like going, it's like one hand going, "You wear it. No, you wear it." And it's like, "I don't want to wear this mask all the time."
So
I love just his little comments.
Yeah,
I love
it. I forgot you'd come to Frieze, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's so cool. And you posted his neons, didn't you, on your Instagram? I remember
the Distractions one, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you got into Shrigley as well.
Mm.
That's so cool.
I'd always liked David Shrigley, but I didn't realise, I think when I first saw his stuff, I didn't realise that that's what art could be now. I think that was probably my first introduction
to
modern art.
I think I had the same reaction.
Yeah, that you kind of go, oh, is that...
It's funny.
Yeah. But also you sort of think, oh, are we allowed to... Is that art now? Mm. Is that what it is?
Mm-mm-mm.
And I love... I've got the... This Will Not Be Here Tomorrow, which I particularly love.
Yeah,
the sign.
That's big, yeah, because it's a big thing of whatever you're going through, it's going to pass. That's what I take from it. And I have that in my house and I see that every single day when I wake up.
Did you get that from me?
Yes.
Yeah, because that was an edition of 100 prints that he made for Counter Edition, but instead of it being a print, he actually hand drew them.
Mm.
So it was 100 unique drawings.
Oh, wow.
And it said, "This Will Not Be Here Tomorrow." And I loved that idea that he drew it 100 times, but it's like each one slightly different, even though he used a ruler and he did. But the handwritings are, you know, it's a really special one, that one. It's got, it's a great one.
I love that, yeah. But I think...
And don't you always... Russell said you have like a little sign.
The
no letter bombs, which Russell actually told me about. And I love that as well. Yeah, no letter bombs, please.
I think we're going to invite David to be an interviewee on the proper season that we're going to launch in spring.
It doesn't mean he's going to come on. We're just going to invite him.
No, he will come on. I know he will. I've worked with him for a few years.
Oh, that's a really good technique. I'm going to start saying, "I've got an audition with Spielberg." I'm going to ask if I can have one. At the minute, I'm the lead in a BBC new massive drama, are you? No, but I'm going to ask.
Well, it might. Just put it out there.
Don't they
there.
Call that something low? Like you speak
okay,
it.
Astral projection.
Oh, astral projection, exactly. Yeah. I think Pedro taught us about that.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So, Laura, in your childhood, there's actually a story with art, isn't there?
Oh,
can we bring this up? Because I love it, yeah. So, basically, Laura was in this incredible film.
Literally the height of my career.
And it's so good, though.
When I was 10, I was in a Merchant Ivory film called Surviving Picasso, and Anthony Hopkins played...
Surviving Picasso. What a great title.
And I played one of his children. Yeah,
Young. I played his mother. I am Benjamin Button. I'm going back with you.
At the time, I didn't really know anything about Picasso because I was 10. And I just about knew who Anthony Hopkins was. But then I remember being, when I was in secondary school, I did art and we had to do art history. And that was my first sort of artist that I really connected with. And I think it's probably because I knew more about his life.
You had
the story of his life.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah, and I could see... When he painted things, or Picasso's like a big one for you can see like what's going on in his personal life. Like,
of course, so, but all of his lovers. Yeah, and he painted all his lovers when he was with the current girlfriend. Which yeah. They must have been like, who's so this? Good. Is that, yeah. That's not
Hang on
me.
A
and still a bit thrilled going, she's got half an eye and 7 ears.
yeah, she's so a dog.
She was a minger.
Fine,
or
worried.
Like, what does that say about me?
By the way, can I have all my features in the correct place? Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I was actually watching some of it last night on YouTube to try and see if there was any clips of it. And there's this amazing scene of Anthony Hopkins walking into a restaurant and then they see, who's in the film again? It's Natasha McElhone.
McElhone and Julianne Moore, I think.
Julianne Moore. I was going to ask you if it was Julianne actress. Moore because she was at the table with him and I was like, is that Julianne Moore?
Was she playing Therese? The lover, or was she playing? Who was she playing?
I don't know, actually.
I think she was Dora Maar.
Dora Maar.
Oh, Dora Maar, maybe, yeah. But anyway, do you know, guess what the thing is that was my highlight?
What?
Was the fact he had this amazing knitted scarf on.
Of course, and the knitwear. Like,
and it had pink stripes, and it is the coolest scarf, and I want someone to recreate it for me. My friend Harry is the main knitwear designer. She used to be at Celine, but she's at Calvin Klein now. So I'm literally going to send her that video and be like, make me this scarf.
But you know what would probably be quicker?
Learning
is to put
knit.
It out to old women.
Oh, yes.
Or men.
Just in general.
Or sexist.
Or
just put a shout
the ones
out
that knit.
A knitting group.
The ones that knit or just old women?
Generally, all old women.
All old women knit.
You know what? You should get onto the casting director that cast a Shreddies advert where they're all knitting.
No, but I've got a feeling that there's actually been this big movement of younger people.
Knitting.
Like people our age knitting.
There has been. Who is and that's a big art thing, isn't it?
The Hobbit one. Bra. He knits. What's his name?
Who?
The guy that plays. Yes. Big knitter.
He's a knitter.
Who?
Knitter.
Martin Freeman.
You can't
out
him.
Oh.
Well, let's get him on the show.
Just look, no. I have
let's
one
get him on the show.
It's not
memory.
A knitting show.
The other thing I was quite surprised by last night, looking up on YouTube at both of your videos and things, was that you pole dance for Madonna.
How do you know that?
Because it came up on YouTube.
What do you mean?
Me pole dancing?
No, but it
God,
said...
I just had the... I hit myself then.
No. Story?
There was something on ITV and you did this little interview and it said which one's true. And one of them was...
really off topic.
It's hilarious.
Let's put it
Madonna
in.
Is art. On Come topic. On. She is pop art.
Yeah, she knew. She knew all the greats.
She collects art.
An audition for a short film she was doing. What was it called? I can't remember. It was like a weird... like it was like 40 minutes in the end, I think. Anyway... I got a recall for it and it was with Dan Hubbard and I'd just done a series called Teenage Kids with him and it was a studio record so he'd come down quite a bit. I knew him quite a bit.
Yeah.
So my agent said, will you go back for this thing? And the character was a ballet dancer who was on hard, struggling. She was on fell on hard times, so she became a pole dancer.
Right.
And that's how Peter Stringfellow met his wife, by the way. She was a ballet dancer and
late.
What a lovely
sorry, the late, rest in peace, but his wife is an ex-ballet dancer,
and
carry
also wasn't,
on.
Wasn't Cardi B a pole dancer or a stripper or something before she was a pop star, I think?
Yeah,
I just watched an interview with her and she was in the strip club in New York.
Anyway, back to Laura, right. Pole dancing.
Well, I don't have this talent, so when my agent rang me with the recall, I was like, Dan, can we just make sure Dan knows I'm not a dancer? Like, I'm in no way, shape or form a dancer.
No, you're an actress.
No, wait, I've missed a bit of the story. So in the first audition, Dan said to me, can you ballet dance? And I went, can I ballet dance?
Yeah.
And I thought he got it. And then he went, can you pole dance? And I went, well, about as well as I can ballet dance, Dan. Anyway, cut to the phone call. I'm like, he definitely knows I can't dance and that was a joke. 100%.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah. And I think my agent, she was the assistant my agent at the time and she was Dan's partner. So I was like, well, she'll definitely tell him. It's not like she's got to even make a phone call. So I turn up at the address, not having really looked up where I was going, and it's Secrets Pole Dancing. And I was like, oh no. And I got there and had a voicemail. I was early and it was like, request from Dan, can you bring your point shoes, a leotard and some stilettos to the audition? And I was like,
why wasn't I seen for this? I've got all those skills. This is mystifying.
I've got
and
any of those.
And me. I'm
so perfect. I just thought, fine, I'll go in. Went in and everyone else was
with your point
dancer.
Shoes and your stiletto.
With nothing. I was already in Hammersmith.
You're not following the story.
No,
she didn't.
I just thought she'd nipped out and got some.
No, I
nipped out in Hammersmith High Street, gone into Poundland and gone, so I'm looking for point shoes and stiletto. Actually, to be fair, they would have had the stilettos.
God, I'm trying to make this quick. So we're all sitting around and I'm sort of turning to the people around me going, you're not a dancer either, are you? And they're all going, oh, yes. And they're all like, There was one girl who was an actress, but then it turned out she'd met Madonna on a shoot for an H&M video in which she was a dancer, so she wasn't.
Right.
She got the part. So, sorry, I've written the story. If you thought I was going to get it. Madonna arrives with Dan, and I sort of pull Dan aside and I go, we're all on the same page here, yes? I'm not a dancer. And he went, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I heard him say to Madonna, Madonna, just so you know, Laura's not a dancer. And she went, well, I'll be the judge of that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, shit. So we all went up one by one and did this scene with her, and it went great, and I had cried my eyes out, and it was fantastic about how poor I am and now I've got to be a pole dancer. And then everyone had to go downstairs one by one in their point shoes, taking their stilettos with them, do a bit of ballet, and then they popped up some hip-hop and they did a little dance on the pole. And they were just going down one by one, and I was like sweating, shitting myself, like, what am I going to do? So I'm the last one.
Going downstairs in points is tricky anyway.
Russell, you've missed it. I don't have any of the kids.
You just went on tiptoe.
So I go down the stairs just in my outfit, and I think sort of leggings were happening
Converse,
then. So I had a pair of leggings on and a vest top. I mean, I just sort of did some ballet with my arms for a bit, and they were like, okay, can you do some pole dancing? I just sort of did a bit of gyrating, and then Madonna gave me some sort of direction. I was just like, this is so ridiculous. So I just took off my trousers and threw them at her.
No!
Thinking it was funny. And then they sort of turned off the music, and she went, that was great. And I went, was it? I just got my trousers and left.
Did you have knickers on underneath, or was you starkers?
Oh, of course not.
Oh, okay. No, just,
and a crop top, so it was pure batch.
Oh my God, I'm so glad
we
I asked
so
about
off
that.
Topic.
And
I
know,
but
and you that's what you saw on YouTube.
Can you imagine how funny that was?
No,
that was like, you saw that on YouTube.
Oh, it is the holidays, and this is basically an insight into what we do. Like, this is our friendship chat.
Yeah. I love that. When I arrived here, it was all very serious.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Okay,
okay,
so
going back to art.
So what if you could do an art heist and take home an artwork with you, what would you take home? So Sarah next.
Oh God. That's really hard. I think I'd want an original Lowry.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You know who's got some of them? Is Ian McKellen.
Really?
Ian McKellen's got a few Lowrys in his
house.
They're amazing.
He also has Anthony Gormley, and I thought you wanted to...
Yeah,
have
I have
an
got an Anthony Gormley. I've got a print of a... Haven't I got a print
oh,
of
the beach?
A, yeah. I've got a signed thing. Anthony Gormley thing. No, but I think I'd like the funeral party, the original, the Lowry
wow.
one.
Cool.
I think I'd like that.
What does LS stand for?
I don't know.
I say Leonard.
Like Leonard. Or something. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I actually don't know.
He died in 1976. I know that because I was five.
Is that part of the song?
I don't think that was mentioned.
Oh.
Is that song, can we find out live on air if that song was an official thing or if that was something we just did at audio?
I've heard someone else singing that song to me. Oh. I think it might be a North of
radio.
England thing.
Okay, so for the record, it's Lawrence Stephen.
Ah,
Lowry.
It's Lawrence, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'd like, please.
I thought you loved Angel of the North.
Yes, I do love Angel of the North, but
it's quite big.
It's quite big. Mind you,
you wouldn't be able to hide that.
Mind you, if you said that, you don't know what I've got planned and where I would put it.
Exactly.
But my garden's very, very long.
Exactly.
Yeah. Narrow, so I could have
it sideways.
On.
Yeah.
And then at Christmas, you could put some lights on it or something.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Lots and lots of tiny battery-operated headlights at the time. But I'd have both of those, please. Is this kind of...
It would be pretty cool to have a Christmas.
I know what I'd like.
God.
In Greenwich Park, they've got... Now, I always get this wrong way around. Standing figure knife edge, the Henry Moore sculpture.
Oh, yeah.
So they have in Greenwich Park, which is beautiful. I love Henry Moore.
So describe it. What does it look like?
It's incredible. It's bronze.
Yes.
It's on a huge, huge round dome, and it's bronze.
Is it figurative, or is it one...
Yes, it's figurative. Well, it's sort of... You can almost... It's a slight head thing.
Yeah.
And then, like, a sweeping body. It's amazing. And it does look like somebody about to jump.
Oh, wow.
But it's a piece of sculpture.
You
I would
should
like
go
that, please.
In Leeds, the Henry
Moore Hepworth.
Foundation.
Barbara
no, there's a Henry Moore Foundation in Leeds.
Yeah, I think I've been.
And it's incredible. It's so, so good.
I think I've been. Because
Barbara Hepworth's in Cornwall.
Yeah, Barbara Hepworth's in St Ives.
Well, so what's the one in Yorkshire?
Oh, no,
Yorkshire
you're thinking Wakefield.
Park.
The
yes.
Wakefield Hepworth.
Oh,
thank you, smug.
That's all right.
Look at Russell's little face. His eyes literally went a little bit red, like an albino rat, for those of you that are imagining.
That's my natural
a little
eye.
Tight, smug mouth. And you went, yeah, I think you'll find that's Cornwall. I think you'll find there's another one in Wakefield.
Yes, Russell.
So we're both,
it's only an award winning. It's an award winning museum.
Well,
it just won
we're
Museum
both winners.
Of the Year.
But again, disappointingly, I didn't bring them. For my O level art,
winners.
For which I only got a B, still bitter, can't move on from that. I did some dreadful. I can't even begin. I should have brought them. I know there's one abomination in red Caron crayon that is a copy of a Henry Moore.
Well done.
That I think I sort of was like, yeah, I've been to a sculpture park and I've done this. But I still only got a B.
So good. So Laura, what
to link
your...
it to Laura's story, I did a dreadful pencil drawing of my point shoes.
Oh.
And retrospectively, very sadly, when I left school, my art teacher, Mr. Evely, don't know if he's still alive. This is not in any way a criticism. He drew a picture of me on point and gave it to me in pencil.
Oh,
might I? Sure I don't. That. Yes.
Have you still got it?
Yes.
In your kitchen.
Do you know what? When I was a kid, I wanted to be a ballet dancer for the whole first like 8 years of my life. And I was obsessed with ballet shoes and I used to draw them too.
I know. And it's Do you remember the Athena poster with the girl in the crossover top and the point shoes? Now I look at it and I go, she's never done a point class in her life, lazy. Yeah. Can I say it? Bitch.
Yeah.
Lazy bitch. Look at her and a crossover.
Is it anything to do with the red shoes as well and that Kate Bush album?
Oh, I loved
that.
And the film was amazing. That goes back
to the film, doesn't it? Yeah. Do you know about the film, Russell?
No, tell me.
Moira Shearer.
It's Moira Shearer.
Moira Shearer.
Oh.
Were you suggesting that Moira Shearer, the newsreader, did a film in like the 50s?
I'm such a big fan of
red shoes. She puts on these red point shoes and they make her dance and they make her create. It's a beautiful film. It's a beautiful film, The Red Shoes.
It's incredible. It's a Christmas
film. Please say it's Moira Shearer because I just want to be right again. Just quickly.
Red Shoe Diaries with David Duchovny on.
So in the meantime, while I'm...
Do you know what was that growing up? It was like soft porn that you could watch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I never saw that.
That's great.
I used to watch Eurotrash. That was my soft
porn. Oh, yes. I loved Eurotrash.
I loved Eurotrash.
More garish.
Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Red Shoe Diaries
was
classier.
No, you're right. It's Moira Shearer.
Thank you.
So hang on. I'm just going to fact check. So it's definitely... She played Vicky Page.
Thank you.
Also your song. Yeah. I think it was a Status Quo song called Pictures of Matchstick Men.
Haven't you been in a film with Status Quo?
What the hell is this story?
So how did you go from Anthony Hopkins to Status Quo?
Hey, don't speak ill of Status Quo.
Sorry.
They're iconic.
Go on, yes. What did you do with him? Is it another lap dancing movie?
I can't remember what it was called, but we went to Fiji and Matt was in it as well.
What? Really?
Yeah. And Francis Rossi is such a dream.
Is he? Wow.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Rick.
So, Laura, what is the art heist you would take home with you?
Well, I think it's, I don't know how to say it, is it Ed Ruscha?
Yeah, Ed Ruscha.
Just because it would really go in my living room above my new grey velvet sofa.
Yeah, right.
It's like blue and red and it says honk across it.
Yes. Did you see that freeze this year or did you see that?
I don't know when I've seen it.
Yeah, that's
I loved it. He's got another one that says oof, which I like.
OOF.
I love that you love Ed Ruscha. He's like totally major.
I'm not so mad on the photography aspect, just because it's a bit depressing.
He's not specifically famous for his photography aspect, but he's definitely part of his output. But
he's got another one that says, I think it says, smells like the back of an old hot radio. I like that one too.
Oh my God. I haven't seen that one.
I haven't seen that one either.
Sure, that's real.
But Ed Ruscha is like proper, big time. That's really exciting.
Right. Well, yeah.
Where was your grey velvet sofa from? Oh, you've got notes.
I've got notes.
God. All right, come on.
I wanted to say.
Ask us questions.
Pieter Bruegel, do you know him? The Flemish artist, Renaissance.
Yeah, Bruegel.
Bruegel.
Yeah.
Russell.
Icarus. Descending, the
just,
one that's
just,
painting.
Just a death.
You can
painting of Icarus.
No. But just that he...
Pieter Bruegel.
People are saying that Lowry and Beryl Cook both painting people and people around them, and that's what he did.
In his time.
Yeah. And so they were saying that they were similar versions in different eras of him, which I thought was really interesting. And I looked up his paintings and thought, yes.
And they were a social commentary sort
of thing. Yes, which I really like. That's all I have to say.
So Laura and I went to see Yayoi Kusama, who's pretty much the most famous Japanese artist ever. And I think she's about 90 now. I think she's just turned 90. And it was her 12th...
in a mental institute?
Yeah, she is. She sectioned herself.
But she's had a lot of...
She's sectioned herself.
Yeah, to live in a mental hospital.
But she's still making art.
She is. And this is her 12th exhibition at Victoria Miro. And we went to it. And it was totally...
Was there a line to get in?
Well, the thing is, we didn't actually have tickets, but because we'd hung out with Endajeka the other day and we met Matt Carey-Williams, he had said, like, come along. So I went and spoke to them and then I didn't message him, actually. I just walked in and they gave us the pass and let us see the show. But it was so, so incredible.
Is this the art, the light stuff?
It was bonkers. We went to the first picture and I was like, Rob, this is giving me a headache. And he was like, I think it's meant to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then well,
I think that's what she's trying to say.
It's her obsessiveness with making dots and her obsessiveness with constantly doing that. And
some of them are really intense in that first room, weren't they? They were like, wow.
But for her, that's complete clarity.
Yeah.
For her, that's the most clear she sees the world is when she sees spots.
So for the listeners, basically her paintings often have lots and lots of dots on them. And you might even, in a kind of pop culture way, have seen her work on Louis Vuitton handbags about 3 years ago, because she's done all kinds of collaborations.
Yes.
And she's best known for her pumpkins, which are also covered in dots. Mm. And the dots come from when she was about 10 years old. So it's like her early childhood. And she used to have these really kind of very clear hallucinations. And she'd suddenly see like flashes of light or auras, which Russell and I always have a joke about because he thinks I can see auras. Because I always say, that person's got a great aura. And one day he said, Rob, can you see auras? And I was like, yeah, yours is really green today. He got really terrified.
What's mine?
Yours is just love, babes. All I see is like pink hearts.
Orange-y.
When I look at Sarah Hadland, I just see pink hearts and sparkling stars everywhere. Anyway.
Black dark heart doesn't show through. That's good.
But she would also see these dense kind of fields of dots and the nets that would go over everything. And she used
to... Infinity nets.
And she would explain it as being almost like self-obliteration, that she would somehow get completely obliterated and disappear in all these dots. Mm. And that then became the focus of her work in a way. And
it's kind of
a motif in her work. Yeah, and she's just incredible.
And there's a mad room upstairs that's like really dark,
yeah,
and it's mirrored. And you go in, and there's kind of these neon, how would you explain it?
Well, weren't they
little bulbs?
They're like those lampshades you used to get from IKEA.
That's what they are. They're like paper lanterns,
like the paper ones.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow.
But they're sort of blacked out, and then there's neon spots, and the colours change when you're in there. It's really cool.
It was so incredible.
Even you describing that is making me think, yeah, that would give you a headache. Yeah. I'd be like, my critique would be, it's very dark.
But the lights are.
Oh, for goodness sake, why is everything so aggressive?
But you can only be in there a minute or something, can't you?
Yes, they literally put a timer on when you go in.
Why?
We actually had probably four minutes. Yeah, we did have a bit of time.
Yes, exactly.
And we did we'll post the photos from it, but basically there's mirrors everywhere. And it becomes this endless room. So it's kind of infinity again. And
I think people keep walking into the wall.
Yeah, they do. They actually had to guide us.
They have a guide in there with you, don't they, that stands?
So they were very worried about us walking into a wall. They just took one look at me. And
we were saying...
using points, weren't you? So.
And stiletto.
One stiletto at one point.
Trousers down.
We might have to watch this one.
And a bit like that Olafur Eliasson's son, there was something about the very simplicity of it, like the way that there are lights involved and then mirrors and then these paper lamps.
It's immersive. It's completely immersive.
Yeah, but it was just really like... simple.
Yeah.
And it was something so powerful about how simple
lava
it was.
Lampy. That was my description.
A lava lampy. Yeah, you said you felt like you were in a lava lamp. Exactly.
Wow.
It was really, really cool though.
So that is her statement. That's how she perceives the world.
Yeah, and I think it's creating this endless space so that everywhere around you feel infinity. And what I took from it is maybe that's what it's like for her when she has those episodes of like...
Yeah. Never ending.
Like it's never
end. It's like it's never going to end, and somehow the whole, you know, you just...
Like a migraine.
You become... It felt like you're in space almost. Like you were just like floating in space or something. But it actually was really incredible.
It was a really cool experience.
Yeah. And I don't know if I would live with all of it personally, because some of it's so intense. Like, but I love it. And I love it as an experience.
How could you own a piece of her art? What would that be?
Well, people buy the painting.
There's giant like flower bronze sculptures she does.
Which was a bit Teletubbies garden.
It is completely Teletubbies garden, yes.
I know, but I actually think often those TV shows are sometimes inspired by art.
Yes.
And I know that Andrew Davenport, who was part of the reason Teletubbies happened, I think he wrote it. He also did that recent one. What's it called? The Night...
Night Garden.
He did that as well. Garden, yeah. He's incredible, but he constantly looks at art. And he himself was actually in a Gilbert and George photograph in the 80s.
Oh, really?
Like, as one of the models, yeah. So he's very much... And I think he studied dance and art or something when he was growing up. Mm. I know him through the gallery. But I actually think a lot of those surreal TV shows have actually been inspired
from... But they become popular culture, doesn't she?
Yeah,
She even makes me think of... Well, she's the female Jeff Koons in some way. Do you know? He's become so...
And, you know, I was just in New York and MoMA now have a gift shop in a different location, like just in, like, Prince Street or somewhere. Yeah. And that is full of her toys, though.
Merchandise.
It's just full of her toys, of like the pumpkins and stuff. And I was saying to you, I almost prefer the tiny handheld pumpkins. They're so cute.
Well, it's her and Murakami.
Yeah, there's been lots of artists.
Takashi Murakami, Jeff Koons, Kors.
Yeah.
These are people that have crossed over.
I love Kors did artwork.
Their music.
What can I do to make you? What can I do to make you?
Yeah,
oh, the Kors. Very funny. Oh. No, it's K-A-W-S, not C-O-R.
Oh.
Yeah. Good one.
But these are people. Good one. These are people.
No, Cause is a originally a street artist called Brighton, and he's the coolest guy. Mm. I've been to his studio in New York, and he's so humble and so quiet. And you know, when I went to his studio, everyone was working with headphones on, and it was like super silent in the studio. And I had these ASICS trainers that, for some reason, had broken, and they were squeaking. And I was walking through his hallway. He's like literally one of the best collectors as well. He's got such good taste in art. And we went to like look at some of his collection upstairs. And as we were walking up the stairs, and I was going down the hallway, my shoes were squeaking, and I just said to him, I'm really sorry, but I didn't mean to like make so much noise, because it was just so peaceful and calm there.
Did he just say get out?
No, he didn't really care. I think I was just feeling a bit hyper.
How would you feel if I'd popped in and started singing Matchstick Men?
I think he would love everything about you. So before we finish and conclude this incredible episode, I just wanted to find out what both of your favourite colours are, because that's my favourite question on the podcast. What's your favourite colour?
That's really hard.
Why is it hard? Oh,
no. You know what? So there's no pressure. Just whatever comes to your mind.
Mine's black, and I know that's not really a colour.
No, that is.
It is. Of course it's a colour.
People say it's not really a colour.
What is it then?
I don't know, just nothing. It's just my general feeling. But yeah, it's black.
See, that's so interesting, because I was going to say white.
Really?
Yeah, because I like everything to be white and light and bright. I'm light obsessed.
But do you know what? I love black on white. I don't really like black with other colours all the time. I like it to be very clean. That's my kind of...
You should look at like Ellsworth Kelly's paintings.
Yes.
Or Carmen Herrera.
Yes.
Oh, well, I watched the documentary. And actually, yes. I was going to talk to you about the title of this podcast.
Go on.
Because she says in the documentary, you can't talk about art. You can only art about art.
Yes.
And then you have something.
Yes.
But then even Bridget Riley. You'd probably love Bridget Riley.
Do you know
Riley's
what would
well.
Be a nice way to finish the episode?
Mm. What?
We've done black and white. Ebony and ivory.
At least
that's Michael
Jackson. I know the lyrics. Are you really trying to get a record deal here?
This is like,
I just feel like this isn't a music podcast.
I don't think I need to try. Phones will be a ringing.
Tell us about when you seen the original cast of Cats.
No, wait a second.
I was in the original cast of Cats. Not in the original cast of Cats.
How is that art?
I was friends with Lowry.
Okay. We came to see your play recently.
Yeah,
and I thought you told me your favourite colour was blood.
Blood?
Yeah.
Blood?
Were you just high off the
only
clay?
Because I was covered in it in the
okay.
I was either smearing myself in it or ejecting it.
Your character had a period, didn't she, on
yes,
stage?
And then
it was actually
face.
Incredibly moving performance.
Yeah, and you ate it. Did you eat
you.
It?
Yeah.
No,
she our
didn't
friend
eat
Louise
it.
Came to see it.
She put it on the face and then washed it out.
And we were both just...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was properly moving. Oh, that was an incredible
performance. Yeah, it was one of the best plays I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
It was called Dance Nation.
Dance Nation.
Yeah, and it was at the Almeida in Islington. And genuinely, I know it's not on anymore, so you can't see it, but if it ever comes back again, go see it.
Bad it because great. It was really great.
I think they should make a film version of it and put you in it, because you were incredible.
Oh,
in it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Well, look, thank you so much for coming on.
And thanks for having us.
So,
about the diversion.
Everyone listening, we are going to be back in spring.
Yep.
So, what we've decided to do is
I agreed with that, as if I'm going to be back.
Well, maybe you will be.
When you two might not be welcome, but when Laura and I are running this.
Maybe when
Anthony when we're on vacation,
on,
you two can step in.
You can come on.
Yes. Basic bitch art. Yeah.
Love that. But we're going to have a little break and come back in spring, because we're going to come back weekly, and we're going to have a whole season, about 10 or 12 episodes, hopefully. So it'll be every Friday it'll come out, and that will be from spring. So we just wanted to let you know that's why we're going quiet for a little while.
So if you subscribe, but it'll pop
subscribed.
Up when it
exactly.
comes
so
back.
Exactly, so stay subscribed. And also, don't forget to review us.
We're going to keep doing Instagram.
We will keep doing Instagram. And also, we have loads of incredible artists, but also other kinds of guests coming on. So stay tuned. I think we'll probably start putting the episodes out in March, and it will be weekly. So it's like a proper series.
Would it be also appropriate to say that I will be making some of my O-level artwork that I got a B for available to sell? Most of it's in under my mum's bed.
You know what? I think we need to do an exhibition when I open
can
the gallery
on Margaret as well. Or?
Oh, my! In all seriousness, my mum goes weekly to art club. Well, I've had things framed. I did a lovely thing of Lanzarote with oats and split peas, and it's multimedia. And it's up at the green room. And you can go and see it in Water Lane, that is, folks. The green room in Water Lane in Wilslow.
Sarah, I've got a feeling that whole description is now going to inspire the whole of the
holiday season. Do you know
what?
You need to get
people
my mum on
making
this.
Art
you need to
home.
Get my mum on this, because
I'm actually quite up for getting mums on. You know Kerry Howard?
Yes.
Her mum's a painter. And we went to their house in Bath. And
I'm
I want to get Kerry on. We should get Kerry with
aside,
her mum.
My mum's artwork is amazing.
Really?
There is a beautiful piece in her house that she did when she did this art course. And it's fabric. It's fabric. It's absolutely stunning. I'll take a picture of it over Christmas. It's beautiful. But she is a very talented artist.
I love the idea of people's mums making art.
Yeah.
And Kristen Wiig the other night at dinner, her mum makes art. Oh, and she made
got to talk about love what Kristen said.
We're trying to, I think Kristen, anyway, yeah. Oh,
Are you getting Kristen Wiig on this? Let's
No.
Kristen Wiig's coming on this.
No, because I think she's too busy, sadly. She's filming at the moment.
Do you actually know her?
Well, we don't. We met her through Pedro. We had dinner with her. She's so lovely.
I know Alison Johnny. Does that count?
I didn't actually know her. I didn't know who she was when she turned up. At the
other one,
I know. I've never seen Bridesmaid. I've never seen. I'm gonna watch it over Christmas.
Now I suggest you get on SNL.
She's one of the funniest. Finish the podcast and then carry on.
Yeah. Okay. Finish on art. Finish on art.
Finish on art.
Love you all. Thanks for listening.
Art is a word. A-R-T. Art is a thing. It's there for you and me. It makes us feel happy. It makes us feel sad. Maybe even like the lady from Japan, it can help when you're feeling a bit mad.
Well, that was an incredible outro. Happy holidays, everybody. Love you all. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to
Russell and I will be back in the spring with a whole series. We will be weekly.
Big love.
Love you all.
Thank you, Laura.
Love
Thank
and
you,
art.
Sarah. Thank
Peace
you
and art.
At Talk Art Instagram. Bye now.
Matchstick man and matchstick cat.
They don't.
I wish I could join in, but I just can't do
just
it.
Just cut her off.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Talk Art with Robert Diamant and Russell Tovey. Follow us on Instagram at Talk Art, where you can view images of all artworks discussed in this episode. Recorded at Spiritland London by Anthony Shaw and edited by Gareth Isles. Subscribe to Talk Art on iTunes and Spotify. Give us a rating and write us a comment. Thanks for listening.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.